at the time the lines are closed as we go to God in prayer. God, we indeed worship your name.
Your name.
Because above your name. There is
none above. Yes.
So God, we tell you thank you for all you've done for us.
Thank you for your manifest presence.
Oh, yes.
Thank you for your power. Thank you for just being God. But I really could go all day talking about who you really are. But thank you for the name. God, we ask your forgiveness of our sins. We've messed up between now and the last time we've talked to you. We ask now that you would not count that against us. But God, I pray now that you would do as you always do. Separate that is of flesh from that is of spirit. To the end, O God, that we would leave this place better than we were when we came in. Get our wandering thoughts and our scattering minds. Place them on thee and thee alone. God, I tell you thank you for what you're going to do on tonight. It's in the name of he who died, but lives now even forever. And every believer in Jesus shouted amen.
Amen.
His holy name.
Of scripture, but it's only familiar to those of us who read the Bible.
All right, Pastor.
Say it, Pastor.
Beginning at verse number 13.
All right.
Which is a rather awkward passage, but prayerfully, after our exploration, we'll all understand it better. Psalm 27, verse 13, reads on this wise. I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage.
All right, all right.
He shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. I would have fainted unless I had believed I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I want to talk for the time that is ours to share together tonight from this thought. Why won't you just give up?
God bless you.
My child, preacher.
why won't you just
give up?
Give up.
You just give up. That's good.
We are on every side approached with bad news.
Yeah.
Just the writings of last week's news would make the faint of heart shudder. When you think about the fact that a young man, after being drafted into the NFL,
ain't it?
Would
say it, sir.
Publicly,
ain't it?
Display a heinous act of what he would call love. We are in a bad time.
My Lord.
When 300 girls are kidnapped, taken for ransom in Africa, we are living in terrible times.
Well.
There are those who are atheists who would suggest to us that that God is either absent, apathetic, or he is silent. When you look at news that's going on in the world,
All right.
There are those who would argue that even the very existence of God, they would say that even if he does exist, he is not totally good.
All right.
In order to let these kinds of things happen, he obviously must not be the benevolent God that we have come to love and adore. But it leaves us to wrestle with this great ancient thought, or what one word is called a theodicy. It is, how do we reconcile the apparent evil in the world against the supposed goodness of God?
Talk, Pastor.
They want to ask the question, how can God be so good when the world and people are bad? And for those of us who are twice born, for those of us who come to church on a Thursday night for revival, for those of us who are trying to reconcile the goodness of God against what I apparently see as bad in my own life, how can I get a handle or a grip in this slippery world?
All right.
And since life is so slippery, how can I get a handle on this? How can I live with this apparent slipperiness of the fact that what I see doesn't match what the Word of God says? I've got to learn how to hold on to the promises of God.
All right.
Even when I cannot see his apparent goodness.
All right.
And the promise that we can really and readily always hold on to is the fact that no matter what, God is good.
That's right.
That fact is not just words that ought to be thrown around in our churches. No, God really is good.
Good.
Our lesson tonight in Psalm 27 is probably one of your favorite 10 verses. And when we look at Psalm 27, David opens up, first of all, with his adoration and his aspiration. He gives his confidence in God. He says, "The Lord is my light.
Yes,
and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? When my enemies came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and they failed." David gives, first of all, his confidence, but then he gives to us his adoration and his aspiration. He says this in verses 4. He says, "One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell
I got some Bible readers in here who can suggest that, listen, God is good, and I've seen it in his scripture. But not only have I seen it in the scripture, but I've seen it in my own life. I've seen it in the outworking of my own life. Yeah. Listen, he says God is good. But right in the middle of this passage, it looks like David suffers a bout of depression, because in verse number 9 he says, I would have fainted. Now how do you go from the Lord is my light to suggesting that I am about to faint? It suggests to us that David suffers from a bout of bipolar disorder. And the truth of the matter is this, that if you've ever been in church, if you've ever given your life to God, you suffer from that same bout of bipolar disorder. Sometimes you feel like throwing up your hands, but at other times you feel like throwing down your hands, and the classic gesture of despair. Listen, get off the brake and get on the gas tonight. Listen, because you know that you suffer from bipolar disorder. Sometimes you wake up in the morning and said, I woke up with my mind stayed on Jesus. But on other morning, you feel like I've been down so long until I got to look up till I see bottom. And David is right in the middle of a bout of bipolar disorder. Here it is. He says, I would have fainted if I didn't believe that I was going to see the goodness of the Lord. Here it is. David says, I had fainted. One writer makes it palatable for us to understand. He says, listen, I would have fainted. He says, but there is something that kept me from fainting. That word fainting literally says this. David made a bold declaration at the beginning, but first of all, he says, I would have fainted. That word in the Hebrew literally means to despair. It literally means to want to throw up your hands and just say, Lord, I quit. But here it is. What that word despair literally means is David was destitute of positive expectation. David didn't think that it was going to get any better. And there's somebody here today who's looking at me tonight who can suggest that I've been right there. Pastor, here I am. I'm the one you've been talking to. And sometimes life has a way of making me feel like it ain't going to get any better. And I was at about 7 sanctified folks, and I've made number 8 who can testify that even under my church suit, under my church clothes, even under my amen, my hallelujah, sometimes life has a way of making me throw up my hand and say, I ain't going back to church no more. I ain't preaching no more. I ain't teaching no more. I ain't singing no more. I ain't singing in the choir no more. I ain't praise dancing no more. Sometimes life will make you want to give up. And that's where David is. David says, listen, he says, I would have despair. Can I tell you that there are two things that will cause us to despair? Here it is. First of all, surprise will cause you to despair.
You're right.
You didn't expect it. You were living life just normally. You had money in your pocket. You were digging in the scene with your church lean. Listen, but all of a sudden, does anybody in here know that you can be worshiping God and surprises will show up? Listen, surprise bills will show up. Surprise people will show up. Surprise situations will show up. Listen, is there anybody in here who's living in a surprise? You really didn't mean to go to the hospital. You really didn't mean to have the stroke. You really didn't mean to come up broke, but surprise will show up every now and then. And I need somebody in this house tonight who will suggest that, Pastor, that's why I am. I really thought I was going to have more money. Thought I would be farther along. Didn't think I would be in divorce court. Didn't think I would be where I am. But surprise has a way of showing up. Listen to the text. But not only will surprise make you despair, but seeming to be stuck, David says, I would have fainted. I would have given up. I would have thrown in the towel. I would have left my Bible and my hymn book right on the back end of the church. But here it is. David says, I would have fainted. Here it is. It makes us seem like whatever we're going through is irreversible. Whatever you're going through, sometimes the devil has a way of clouding our eyes and our vision to make us think that we're going to always be broke, that we always ain't going to have a husband like we
Yes, I had believed. Thank God. He says, I would have fainted. He says, unless is a conjunction. You know Saturday morning commercials, conjunction. I wish I had some old folk in here. What's your function? He says, I would have fainted. That's the bad news. He says, but the good news comes after the... No, that's enough for me to pull my hair out and shout by my doggone self tonight. He says, I would have given up except I believe that I'm going to see the goodness of the Lord. Here is the difference between... Can I tell you why some people shout in church? And why some people come up here at 11 o'clock sharp and leave at 12 o'clock dull. Can I tell you the difference between shouters and powders? Listen, the difference is that either you come to church as a shouter or a pouter. Now here it is. When you come to East Park on Sunday, you got to make that determination. Am I going to be a shouter? Or am I going to be a powder? Because you don't know like I know what the Lord has done for me. Really, I really wish I had time to tell you about the goodness of God. You know, it doesn't matter how down I am, I would have fainted except I would have believed in the Holy Ghost. That's the difference. The difference is belief. But the Bible says that without faith,
it's impossible.
It's impossible to please God.
Yeah.
And even though I'm not where I want to be, if I hold on, help me, Holy Ghost, to God's unchanging hand, he says, I would have fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord. That David is in the middle of his bipolar moment.
Right.
But he says, I really wanted to take the 357 and do like crazy folk do and use it on my own self. But he said there was something on the inside of me that wouldn't help me, Holy Ghost, that wouldn't let me give up. Is there anybody in here who's ever been at that point where you felt like giving? You didn't want to go another further. You wanted to cuss them folks out at your job and tell them take that job and help me, Holy Ghost. I wish I was a king and I talk like I want. Lift up me, Holy Ghost. He says, but I've got a belief that I'm going to see something. He says, I'm looking for something. And whenever you are looking for something, you hold on until it comes. Okay, I knew y'all would look at me like that. So I brought some in my own wallpaper. Listen, my grandmama used to pick me up from band practice. All of my other friends had cars, but I had to wait on my grandma. She said, boy, if you get another ride, that'll be the last ride that I ever give you. Listen, I wait. It gets dark. I'm waiting. Said, Delwin, we'll take you home. I said, no, I'm waiting on somebody. I'm waiting on my grandmama. Finally, every time she picked me up, she gave me, help me, hold it, y'all. I feel like shouting. Wendy's hamburger, y'all. I was waiting on my hamburger, and I would have given up. I would have taken the wrong ride, but I was waiting for you because y'all looking at me, but y'all ain't listening tonight. The truth of the matter is this, is that I'm not waiting on my man. I'm not waiting on my woman. I'm waiting on God, and as long as I hold on, God has a way to see the goodness of the Lord. Listen. David is holding on because he understands and he knows that our God is a benevolent God. God is good is not just a refrain that we respond when the preacher says God is good. No. God really is good. No, God by his nature is good. Everything about God, help me, Holy Ghost, is good. Everything about God is good. Read my lips like George Bush. Read my lips. God is good. Let me say it till you till this side gets it. God, help me, Holy Ghost, is good. Let me talk to this side. God, you ought to help somebody and tell them, God is good. Watch this. Somebody here don't believe this. You still got your arms folded. Look like you've been baptized in persimmon juice. Listen, let me help you. When God allowed Abraham to go through all of his mess, you know what Abraham shouted after all of his mess? God is good. Listen, after God commands Abraham to take his only son Isaac and sacrifice him, you know what happens at the end of the story? Abraham said, God is good. Listen, just shout, God,
God
is good. Let me say it to you, get it. God,
God
is good, because something on the inside will start moving and you'll start believing it. No matter how broke I am, God is good. Even when I'm down, God is good. Taking medication, God. Even when I'm on the verge of divorce, God is good. Listen. Listen, when he allowed his son to die,
reach all of it.
The testimony is that God, God is good. He says, I would have fainted,
well,
except I believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living God. David says, I'm going to see his goodness, and I'm not going to wait till I get to heaven. He says, I'm going to see it, help me, Holy Ghost, while the blood is running warm. That's a prophetic word for somebody here tonight. Listen, you think life ain't going to turn around? Can I tell you that you're going to see God's goodness, not on the other side, but I'm going to see his goodness, help me, Holy Ghost. I ain't going to be broke my whole life. I ain't going to be down my whole life. I ain't going to be despondent. See it in the land of the living. Listen, he said, but here it is. Here is the key. Here is the key, and I'm out of here. He says in verse number 14, he says, the only way that you're going to see the goodness of the Lord, he says, you've got to wait on the Lord. And that's the only problem that we have with the Lord, is that we tend to get in a hurry. And the Lord says that the only way that you can see my goodness,
I hear ya,
is that you've got to wait on me. That's why the choir used to say that you can't hurry God. No, you just have to wait. You have to give him time, no matter how long it takes. I got Bible for that, because Isaiah said in Isaiah chapter 40, he said they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as the eagle. He shall run and not get weary. They shall walk and not faint. Do I have any witnesses who can testify that I waited on the Lord? And since I waited on him, it worked out in my favor. I'm out of here now. May the Lord bless you real good. But I'm reminded of the story of my little boy. My little boy, my wife, and my daughter. We went to the mall and I had misplaced my keys. And so I looked at my wife. I said, baby, do you have your keys? She said, no. I left them at the house. And so I began to search my pockets. And I finally found my keys. And I looked at my son as we were getting in the car. I said, Dylan, do you have your keys? He started laughing. He said, Daddy, I don't have no keys. I said, why don't you have any keys? He said, Daddy, I don't need any keys, because everywhere you go, I just wait on you. Anybody here, they can leave here tonight. Can you just tell the Lord, I don't mind waiting. Can you just find a neighbor and just take him by the hand and say, neighbor, y'all ain't looking at nobody. Can you say, neighbor, I don't mind waiting on the Lord, but you know what you got
daughter, start praising him. Did he wake you up in the morning? Did he start you on your way? Did he put money in your pocket? Daughter, start praising him. When praises go up, the blessings come down. But I've learned something else. When blessings come down, praise is up. Oh, go back up. Can you shout glory? Can you shout glory? Can you shout hallelujah? Can you tell it back to you? Every now and then, I'm not just looking to review. But every now and then, you ought to start looking forward. You ought to start praising God for what you ain't got just yet. I'm reminded that my mama didn't have much money. Y'all remember wieners. Y'all too young to remember wieners. My mama would take me to school at wieners. And what she would do, she couldn't afford all the Tudor boys, all the Tommy Hilfiger, all the shoes on one paycheck. But what she would do, every 2 weeks, when she got a paycheck, she put some on it. Next 2 weeks, she put some on it. And the week before we got out of school, before we went to school, we'd go back and we'd get what we had laid and lay away. And I tell you that every now and then, when you come in the house of God, you ought to put something on lay away. You can't pay the Lord, but you ought to put it in lay away. You ain't got the car yet, but you ought to put it in lay away. You ain't got the house yet, but you put it in lay away.